The Shaw Piralee Law Group and Emmy Law Help, Inc. are proud to announce the release of the Immigration Law Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, and other renowned podcast channels. Immigration Law Podcast was designed to provide the audience with information on various U.S. immigration issues. The podcasts are unique because they are presented by the prominent attorney, Shaw Piralee, covering topics such as B-1, B-2 visas, visitor and business visas, H-1B visas, L-1 visas, O visas, EB-1 visas, student visas, perm labor certifications, national interest waivers, NIW, green cards, and citizenship. Although educational in nature, the podcasts provide a rare insight on immigration news and politics from an experienced lawyer's perspective. Immigration Law Podcasts, a unique perspective on immigration law. Download them from iTunes or Google Play. For more information, visit attorneyonair.com or call 510-742-5887. This is just an advertisement. No attorney-client relationship is created by this ad.
Are you an H-1B visa holder? Do you have an I-140 petition approved or have an extension under AC-21 provisions? Are you on H-4 visa? If yes, we've got amazing news for you. As of May 26, 2015, you or your spouse on H-4 visa might be eligible for a work permit, aka EAD. And to apply, you need a lawyer who knows about H-4 visa issues. Lawyer Shaw Piralee has been at the forefront of this fight for H-4 rights and has actually helped make this dream a reality. Now, his firm is ready to help you or your spouse get their EADs. Call 510-742-5887 or visit www.splgpc.com to apply for your EAD. This is an advertisement. No attorney-client relationship is created by this ad.
And now, from the San Francisco Bay Area studios, KLOK proudly presents to you the prominent attorney Shaw Piralee for the Shaw Piralee Law Show, coming at you with over 50,000 watts of power. The Shaw Piralee Law Show, where all your views matter.
Hello, everybody. Assalamu alaikum, sastakar, namaskar to all the listeners. This is Attorney Shaw Piralee, and today we're going to talk about immigration, of course, and also debt settlement in the second portion of the show. And I apologize if my voice doesn't sound that great today, but I am going to talk, of course, about all those issues, and we will, of course, be taking calls from you. The number to the studio, 408-912-5565, and today I have Franco on the board with me. Thank you, Franco, for being there. And of course, we are going to discuss a little bit about the election, but also about what's happening on the immigration front. And anything I'm telling you today, again, is my opinion. You should not act or refrain to act solely on the information provided. You should contact an attorney if you have any questions. I think we already have callers, Franco, but before I take the callers, let me make a few announcements. There are a few things that happen. For one, there will be an increase in the USCIS fees coming up as from December 23. I have a chart on the on the website, attorneyonair.com or piraleelaw.com. And also some other news that are happening. I wanted to congratulate the team. We just won two VAWA cases, two very difficult VAWA cases, and one new visa last week. And also we won a couple of RFEs, very difficult RFEs, and I'm very proud of that. So check our website for more information, attorneyonair.com. But before I go over the subjects, I think we have some callers already. Let me take the caller, Franco. This is Shapra. Are you alive in here?
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Yeah. Hi. My name is Kumar. Hi, Shah. I have a question regarding a B2 visitor visa.
Yes.
So last week, like, my mother and my in-laws went for visitor visa in India, and my in-laws got the visa, but my mother's visa got refused with a 214B because of according to them, like, my mother was unable to show the strong tie with the home country.
Yes.
So now my question is, like, I'm planning to reapply a visa in a couple of weeks or in a couple of days. So is it a good to do that? And like, what precaution I need to do? Like, this time, like, I'll be sending my father along with my mother, and I'll be putting all pension document and all these things. Since my father was working as a government employee. Also, like, I'll be putting all the bank deposit in India. So is there anything, like, do I need to prepare for before reapply?
Unfortunately, no, because I-N-A-214B is very much a matter of luck, so they can use it any time, just saying that, hey, you don't have ties. I-N-A-214B say you're presumed an immigrant unless you prove otherwise. So basically, you're already fighting an uphill battle. So what you're putting is pretty good right now, but put a letter of employment from your father, and put if your mother is probably not working, but if she has properties and things like that, bring the copies with her, and also show that there's no intent. If she's working, it's good. If she has a business, if she can show that's pretty much it. Applying right away, I would recommend waiting at least 1 month or so and then apply. But apart from that, there's nothing special, because luck is most of the time what controls those visas. And unless you, there's no magic on that, unfortunately. Only thing is your luck. If you get everything right and you get a different officer, they might grant it. But if you apply right away, chances are that you won't get it. So wait a little bit and then you apply, okay?
So 1 month is okay, right? After 1 month, if they go...
Yeah, you can apply right away. There's no rule. It's just a matter of if you apply right away, then it looks very serious that you really want to go and they don't like it too much. So, I would recommend, if you want to apply right away, that's fine, but I would recommend waiting a little bit, okay?
Okay, apart from that, like property document, pension document, nothing special I need to do, right?
There's nothing special, because sometimes they don't even look at it. That's the problem.
Yeah,
and then also some officers, I had cases where the officers say, I wanted to give it to you, but since my colleague didn't give it to you, so I cannot give it to you. So that's why I say wait a little bit, but... If you need,
okay.
If they need to come for a specific reason to visit you or something, then go ahead and apply it right now. But I just, I have a video on that, B1, B2 visa on my YouTube. Check on that. But there's nothing special. You're already putting all the stuff you got. Okay?
Got it. Thank you very much.
Good luck to you. Good luck to you, to your family. Let me take another caller. This is Shapra. You're live on air.
Hi, Shah. This is Shefali. I just want to really thank you for doing this show.
Oh,
and
thank
doing
you so
such
much.
A great job. Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much for your kind words. What can I do for you?
So I have a quick question. It's regarding my brother. He is in India right now, and my dad is a U.S. citizen. Just to let you know. So my brother, he had applied for L1 blanket visa, and 2-3 weeks ago he went to Chennai for his interview with his family. He has two kids, and it was rejected. So the consulate officer, he just asked him, like, about his salary, and after talking to his officer or somebody, he just said that, we're sorry, we cannot give you this visa. But they did not give him any explanation, and he's pretty upset regarding that, and now he's thinking of doing an L1 individual visa. So question is that my dad, he had applied, applied for his petition. So in February, it's been like 1 year. So it's like 1.5 years already. So my brother is thinking, like, can that be a hindrance for the L1 individual? Or was that a hindrance for his blanket visa? Or it has nothing to do with it?
It has nothing to do with it. Because first of all, the L1 visa is a dual intent visa. So you can have a green card running at the same time, L1. I think the reason he got denied is because they didn't put the right salary. Especially if he's doing the L1B, it's a bit like H1B. They have to meet the requirements of the prevailing wage. And it seems the company has not shown that. So if he does a new L1, I'm pretty sure they will approve it. But make sure that they give him the salary, which is a prevailing wage in the county. in the area, because otherwise they will not give that visa, because it's very much like the H-1B for the L-1B. And if it is a blanket, it's a little bit more headache, but usually blanket, they approve it, but it seems right now they're just making fuss about small things. So just make sure the salary is good and the company is in good standing, then he will get it, okay?
Okay, but so your father's application has nothing to do with it, right?
Not at all. Because
and
this
he does
is a
not have
interest.
To give his alien number or anything, right? Because his
immigration
lawyer in India doesn't know about his stuff. That
No. He was supposed to give that. Because they asked you a question, have an immigrant visa been filed for you? You have to say yes. If you say no, then you're committing fraud. Then they will deny it for lying to them. Because the L1 doesn't get affected at all. If it was a student visa or a B1, B2 visa, then yes, it will be affected. But not an L1. H1, L1, O visas or dual intent visas. That means you can have both running. So make sure that there's no lie on the application, because then he will be blocked for fraud and 212, and that you won't be able to clear it for a while. Okay?
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you so much, Shah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you for your kind words. Let me take another caller. This is Shah Pirai. You're live on air.
Hey, Shah. I had a question regarding my passport. Currently,
yes?
My visa is expiring. My visa is expiring in 2018, but my passport and my I-94 is ending in Feb 2017. That is next year in 3 months. So can I start applying my passport renewal? Also, what happens, what do I need to do for my I-94 and my visa after my passport renewal is done?
You need to file, you have two ways of doing it. Either you file an extension, I-129, it's an H-1B visa, right? What visa you have?
Yes, H-1B.
Yeah, so once you get the passport, make sure you get the passport ASAP. As soon as you get it, you can do two things. You can go ahead and file an extension I-129, H-1B, or you can just leave the country, come back, because you have your 797. But then you will have to do extension because your 797. When is your 797 expiring? On that February.
2018.
Okay, so then you can go ahead and leave the country, come back. You can go to Mexico or something, and they will give you up to 2018. Or you can go ahead and file the I-129 and do the extension. There's another option, but it's not working right now. You might try it. You can go to the CBP office and ask them if they will extend it based on that new passport. But most of the time, they won't do it because at the time you entered, the passport was expiring. So the two best option is either to refile an extension of the I-94 to filing an I-129 to the company, or as soon as you get the passport, leave the country and come back, because you have a stamp, they will give you up to 2018, whichever date is on your 797, okay?
Okay, great. And my passport renewal, can I apply it right away? It expires in 3.5 months.
That you have to check with the Indian embassy, because I'm not licensed really. So check with them, but I think they do allow it 6 months in advance. So talk to them, and I think they have, from what I heard, from probably other people can correct me on that, but I heard that if you pay an expedited fee, they will give you your passport first. So make sure you get your passport. Without that, they won't extend it, okay?
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Good luck to you. I don't know if you have more callers. This is Shah Pirai. You're live on air. Okay, so thank you very much. We started very strong with some very, very nice questions on different issues, including I-94B, dual intent visas, and also about issues relating to extension of I-94. These are very, very interesting questions, and I always like to cover them. As I was starting, I mentioned that we are going to discuss about some of the issues happening right now. For number one, as you know, there is a fee increase that is coming up on USCIS fees. It's not that big fee, but still it's substantial somehow. Most of them are like $100 extra, including, and I have a list of all those forms that are increasing their fees. And also the other news that we have is for those Hergwan University, there is a SEVP is getting terminated. That means they're not going to be able to issue As from January 11, 2017, they are not going to be issuing any more student visa. The school will still be there, but they will not be able to do student visa. That's another news that a lot of people have been asking me. So make sure if you are in Hebron or the universities that are affected, please transfer as soon as possible. And if you need help, give me a call, 510-742-5887. Let me take another caller. This is Sharp Rai. You're live on air.
Hi, Shah. This is Nikhilesh.
Hi, Nikhilesh. How are you?
I have I-140 approved, and I'm going for H-1B stamping this year. So in DS-160, they ask whether my immigration petition has been filed. Should I answer yes or no?
Okay, you said your I-140 is approved, right?
Yes.
Yeah, of course then. Yeah, you do have an immigrant petition. That's an I-140.
So I should answer yes, right, for that?
Definitely, yes, of course,
okay.
Yes. You have to.
Thank you.
Okay? Okay, no problem. And that question doesn't affect you. That, again, goes back to the rule of dual intent visas. Like H-1B and L-1, you don't get affected. On the contrary, it might help. But if it was a visa like a B-1 or F-1, they have a right to deny it if the answer is yes there. Okay? But in your case, it's fine. But you have to mention it. Okay? Good luck to you. So, ladies and gentlemen, this again, we're going back to dual intent visas. And I think I'm going to discuss a little bit about that because a lot of people get confused. If you have an H-1B, L-1, O visas, those visas, the rule of even H-4, the INA 240B doesn't really apply. That means immigrant intent can be present. It doesn't affect your case. So make sure you mention this, because if you don't, then they will get you on 212 misrepresentation and fraud for not mentioning this. So be careful on that. And if you need help, again, 510-742-5887. The website to check, attorneyonair.com. Franco told me that we have one caller. This is Sharp Rai. You are live on air.
Hi, hello. Hi. This is Saravan. I have a question on that university you mentioned. You mentioned like there is some university which has the problem. What is the name of the university? I didn't listen it properly.
Hebron University. They are removing the SEVP from Hebron, the one in the South Bay. But their school is not closing down. It's only they will not be able to give I-20s, that means student visa will not be obtainable from there. So what they're telling the students is to transfer as soon as possible to another school. It's Hebron University, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good luck to you. So let me see, do we have other callers? This is Sharp Rai, you're live on air.
Hi, I have a question regarding the H-1 transfer. If I have I-140 approved.
Yes.
So if I have I-140 approved from the previous employer and then after I move to the new employer and restarted the I-140 process, but that is not completed yet, and if I wanted to move to the another employer, can I still use the previous approved I-140?
Yes. Yes, that's why it's very important to have an I-140. And since you're bringing this up, let me give the rule a little bit how it works. At the time of the approval of the transfer, no matter how much time is left with company A, your I-140 has to be alive. Okay? So at the approval, not the filing. So if later on they withdraw it, you still can benefit with company B. Let's say you're moving from A to B, you can still stay with company B. But there are two problems. Number, if you don't have if the I-140 is withdrawn from company A, you cannot transfer more. But if it is there, yes, you can transfer to C. You also cannot do amendment. That's another thing that people are getting problem now. If I-140 is no longer present, okay, and you're trying to do an amendment, they won't allow you to do that and you'll be stuck. So be careful. Make sure that an I-140 is alive for you and well, because without that, you'll not be able to move. So as long as you have one I-140 from any company, A, B, C, D, you can use it to transfer and to extend. Okay?
Okay. So it's like, how do we check that I-140 is not revoked by the employer?
That's a million-dollar question. But usually if you go online, they will mention it. But sometimes they don't. So until you do the transfer, the extension, you don't really know. So that's why it's always, people have to always be careful that they maintain one I-140 somewhere. Okay? But usually online, if you type the number, it will tell you if it has been revoked. But sometimes they don't update it. Okay?
Okay, makes sense. Thank you.
Good luck to you. I don't know if you have more caller, Franco. This is Sharp Rai. You're live on air. Okay, so Very, very good questions today. And I wanted to mention that today also because I'm seeing a lot of issues. A lot of people transferred based on an valid I-140. Transfer is done, and after 6 months, 7 months, some companies are revoking the I-140, which is okay because the transfer was already effected. But now the problem is that many people transfer to consulting companies, and consulting companies will move you from one end client to another. And what happens next, they have to do an amendment. And if at the time they are doing the amendment, the I-140 is not present, guess what? They won't allow you to do the amendment. And without the amendment, you'll be in violation of the case of Simeo case. That means ultimately you lose your H-1B. So it's a really unfair system, but unfortunately that's the way they are working things out right now. So be very, very careful when you're transferring. Make sure that anywhere you work, if you can make a deal, they keep your I-140 is very important. They keep the I-140. Because it used to be big companies will not revoke I-140s, but recently it seems like they are starting to do that, and that's causing a really big ripple effect on many people on H-1B. So you need to make sure. Now, if you have a situation like that, look into other options as soon as possible, or give us a call at the office. We will look into your options at 510-742-5887. So, I don't know. We have one caller right now. Let me take the caller. This is Shapra. You are live in here.
Hi, I have a quick question.
Yes.
I have 140 approved. And say suppose I have moved to Company B. And and the Company B haven't started I-140.
Yes.
I mean, the green card process. And
yes.
I have to go to India for H-1B extension. So, will that work? Like, since my I-140 from the Company A might be there or might not be there,
okay.
And I completed my 6 years.
Yeah, once you pass 6 years without that I-140, you will not be able to do an extension, right? The extension is a 797 first. If that gets approved, you should be fine to get your stamp, okay? Unless you have to do an amendment in between. So it doesn't matter if after that it gets revoked, as long as your 797 is approved and there's no amendment involved. But stamping has no effect really on that, as long as it's approved, the 797. But make sure that the I-140 is still there, because that's another thing that we are seeing at the U.S. Embassy. They're starting to ask that question, which technically they should not, because once you get the 797 approved and there's no amendment, like I said, that 797 approval is good enough to get your stamp. But at this point, I have never got anybody rejected at the U.S. Embassy because the I-140 was withdrawn. However, if the 797 is not extended, yes, then you won't be able to go for stamping. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Did you follow me? I know it's a little bit complicated, but okay. Okay, good luck to you. Let me take another caller. This is Shapira. You're live on air.
Hi. I have a question on when I traveled on L1, right? My wife traveled on L2.
Mm-hmm.
So she traveled after I came here. So when she went for visa stamping, everything was good and she came here. But we didn't notice a thing that in the stamp that UCIS has given, the date was given a year ahead. Like mine is 2017. And my wife ends in 2018. So it was not our mistake, but we didn't notice that. But when she came through Abu Dhabi, they had a question saying that, how can this happen?
Did they let her in?
Yeah, they let her in.
Okay.
And they asked her to get it corrected, but I'm not sure how I can get this corrected.
Okay, what you need to do, you need to go to the, where are you located, which area?
San Jose.
San Jose. Go to the CBP office, San Jose, and let them know about that. What they're going to do, though, they're going to cancel that visa. Then what she will need to do, whenever she travels, she needs to go to get another visa stamp in her case. Or ultimately, don't do anything right now. When you travel outside, make sure your extension is done and everything. Then she can go to the U.S. Embassy and have them revalidate that same visa or exchange it for a new stamp, okay? Because it's definitely a mistake from the State Department, U.S. Consulate. But just to tell you the law, anytime they make a mistake, it's your job to make sure that they correct it. So okay. You can do it now, or you can wait when she travels. You do it. It's good to go and inform them at least to show that good faith, but it's not necessary to do it right now. You can always do it at the U.S. Embassy when she travels. She won't be able to use this one again, okay, until you go to the U.S. Embassy, okay?
Okay, but now if she applies, will there be any question that she has to go back to India since the visa will be cancelled?
No. Once she enters and she entered legally, they gave her the... She came on L2, right? They give her an I-94 at the airport, right?
Yes.
As long as this I-94 is good, you don't have to worry about the stamp. It's only when you leave the country, then you have to go for a new stamping, okay?
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thanks.
Make sure the date. Make sure the dates are matching. And if they are not matching, then give me a call at the office. I have to sit down and look where they made the mistake. Or you can call the CBP office in San Jose. I think they are at the airport. They might be able to correct it right there for you. But they don't really worry because your I-94 is good. That's all they want. Okay?
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for the question.
Good luck to you. Let me take another caller. This is Shah Barai. You're live on air.
Hi, Shah. This is Karunakar.
Hi, Karunakar. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, sir.
My question is, I have my 140 approved, and my company is acquired by another company, Company B.
Yes.
Okay. And so my questions are, so this Company B is going to do 140 amendment, which is called a successor in something. I don't know what exactly it is.
Successor in interest.
Yeah, successor in interest. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is whether when they do it, how long does it take for that to complete? That is number one.
Mm-hmm.
And second one is the 140 is still valid. Say, for example, if I want to move to a different company and the SII is in progress, can I still move, or I have to wait until this SSI is complete? And will I get any document out of it, like another 140, or my 140 is still valid?
Your 140 is still valid because it's still based on the original company. However, it's always good to wait for it just to be on the safe side. But it's not necessary. But I would recommend you to wait on it just to be not to create confusion at the USCIS, because not many officers understand the concept of the successor interest. The way it works is like if the company was absorbed completely, then you can amend it. Otherwise, they are supposed to do a new I-140. Having said that, the old I-140 is still good if it has not been revoked, so you can use it to do transfer, to do extension. But just to be on the safe side, I would recommend waiting for the approval. And usually once they inform them, they don't take that long to amend it. So a couple of months, you should get an answer. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Okay, good luck to you. Let me take another caller. This is Shah Barai. You're live in air.
Hi, Shah. This is Vinay.
Hi, Vinay.
I have a question regarding my H-1B stamping.
Yes,
I have a stamping appointment booked in the month of November. But in my DS-160 form, which I submitted, the question for the we have a question where has anyone ever filed a petition for citizenship or the green card? I selected that as no, but I have a I-140 approved. So, should I create another DS-160 form, and is it fine if I just carry that with me for the appointment, or do I need to redo the complete process and schedule another appointment?
Well, since yes, the answer is yes, it depends on the officer. If the officer thinks you're just lying, then he can use that against you. It's always good to redo it. But now with this electronic system, it's not like before where you could just go there and correct things. I would prefer you redo a new one, but it's not really necessary, but you have to tell them there. But since they already consider everything based, so to be on the safe side, I would recommend withdrawing this one and redoing a new DS DS-160. The only thing is that in your case, it doesn't affect it at all, so it's not like a material misrepresentation that will affect you. But I would recommend redoing it. Now, the question is that you might be in touch. I don't know if they will be able to answer email. You can inform them that you want to, that you made a mistake. You should have put yes there and you put no. They might be able to accept that. But unfortunately, right now, they are moving so fast and they have so many cases, they might not be able to capture that. So my recommendation is to go ahead and refile it. But if it is taking too long to get another appointment, then you can just go there and tell them, sorry, I wanted to correct that at the interview. Okay?
Okay, fine. Okay.
Okay. Just to let you know, for everybody right now, there's an announcement that the State Department is processing cases faster because they are giving more visas in the next 2 months. So you might be able to get a date not that long if you reschedule. Okay? Okay. So let me take another caller if we have Franco. This is Sharp Rai. You're live on air.
Mr. Varali, this is Kuldeep. And
Hi, Kuldeep.
I was listening to a conversation a few minutes ago. Somebody's visa got denied because he could not overcome the statutory presumption of being an immigrant.
Yes.
And I just wanted to share my story. I ran into the same situation too, but that was it back in 75. I did my engineering and I applied for the student visa. And then I immediately went and filed for another appeal, and which got declined right away. I hope that listener is still there, right? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And they will not open the file at all. And the only way they were able to open the file, my brother was here, and he wrote to the congressman, and the congressman wrote to the to the embassy, and they were able to reopen the file, and then my visa was approved, student visa, but subject to the bond. They asked me to fill up the bond.
Wow.
I'll go back
In 1975 they were doing that?
That was back in 75.
Wow.
And all this process caused my admission to be delayed by, instead of the fall semester, I started in the spring semester of 76. But they are very strict on that one, and only way is, you know, he needs to contact the congressman. That's my...
Yeah.
I just wanted to share, you know, for the benefit of the listeners.
Thank you so much for telling us. So I thought that was new, but it seems it's been there for a long time. But the truth is that it's faster just to reapply, because I-240B is... their memo says clearly that this doesn't prevent you from filing a new one.
Right.
And reopening it... usually I do that if there's a humanitarian ground. I've tried in one case to use a congressperson, but then guess what? They came back and they locked the client on a different reason. So now things are, you know how things are now. When you came here, America was very different, and I came in the 90s and things were so nice and so sweet, but now suddenly things have got a little bit rotten again. So, but your idea is good. Using Congress people to help, I've done it in many cases and it does work. But for those kind of cases now, fastest is just to reapply, because Congress is pretty much, their hands are tied because of the Terrorism Act and all this stuff.
Yeah, right. Things are
so
changing now, I agree.
Yeah.
But
your idea is good.
They will not even reopen my file, you know. That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, they're very unfair on that when it comes, because that I-240B is a matter of discretion, right? So they just look at you and say, oh, this guy is not coming back. Then you're done. But unfortunately, it's luck also. But your idea is good, because I think it does work. If they try a couple of times, they don't get it, then that's the only solution, is to get a congressman involved. But it still works. But right now, they're a little bit scared, even the congress people, because of all the issues of terrorism, etc.
I don't know, that things might have changed. But
I'm very happy you're telling me this, because I thought it was kind of new after 1997 that it became really... strict on that, but it seems it was there for a long time and they've been applying it. Wow.
And then also, you know, the same officer, you know, other officer will not even entertain the application even after the congressman, but the same officer gave me the visa and subject to the $3,000 bond. And I was a government employee at that time. I was working as a subdivisional engineer in the government, and I showed, you know, hey, I have a job there, but I'm just going for my master's education.
And $3,000 was a lot of money, right?
That was a lot of money in 75, believe me.
I know. But thank you very much for sharing. I really appreciate that, because some of the things, 1975, I was still a kid, I was 2 years old, so it was it's kind of hard for me to know.
Now you know how old I am, right?
Now you're probably young, because it was Daniel. But that's fine. But thank you so much for sharing.
Sure.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Bye.
Thank you, Kuldeep. Let me take another caller. This is Sharp Rai. You're live on air.
Hi, my name is Mahinder.
Hi, Mahinder.
Hi. I have a question on my L1A immigration. So I moved to US last year.
Yeah.
I got initially a visa for one year, but on my passport, whatever stamp is there, that was given for until 2020. So this year,
okay.
I completed 1 year and then I filed for an extension.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an extension approval for 2 years.
Yes.
So my question is, if I travel outside United States, do I need to get further stamping on from the embassy, or it's not required? Because
it's
on my passport, the stamp is there until 2020,
no,
and I'm with the same company.
You don't need it because even you are not with, well, technically for L1A, you have to be the same company. But no, you don't need it because that stamp is still good. They gave the stamp for 3 years. However, the 797 we issued for 1 year. So you don't need the stamping again. You just take the approval notice and you stamp and you come back. Okay?
Okay. And another question. My company is getting acquired completely. So do I need to go for an amendment again, or the same status will continue?
It all depends what kind of merger or acquisition we are talking about. If it is a complete successor in interest, that means basically they are taking the whole thing as a whole. They're not breaking it or anything. You don't need to do anything. Otherwise, you have to do an amendment on the L1. So that's very tricky to answer because I don't know what's inside of the company. So, yeah, go ahead, check with the lawyers there. And if you have problems, give me a call at the office, 510-742-5887. Okay?
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Good luck to you. So before I take other callers, Franco, let me kind of change a little bit the topic. And we were talking a lot about immigration, and we had so many announcements, including the increased fees. Then also we have a lot of people are calling me about the prudential revocation. Prudential revocation are for people who got DUIs and they are traveling to get a stamping. Just to let people know, the prudential revocation doesn't apply inside the United States. It's a rule that was specific to State Department when you go for stamping. That means the U.S. Embassy. What they are doing, if you have a DUI, they can deny you and take away that stamp on your passport, basically saying you don't have any H-1B anymore or any kind of visa because of the DUI. So be careful. If you have a DUI or some kind of criminal issues, make sure that you don't travel unless you talk to an attorney who understands that concept of prudential revocation. So I wanted to mention that too. And also, now let us quickly, before I take the other caller, Franco, I'm going to talk a little bit about debt settlement because this is another thing that a lot of people now are calling. Things are getting a little bit tricky. People don't even know where things are going. Economy is going really, really, it's kind of funny because I was listening to the reports on the Wall Street yesterday and things are really kind of up and down depending on the election. So if you are having problems with your credit cards, problems with your second mortgage or any kind of problems you owe money and you want us to negotiate that amount for less amount, give us a call at 510-742-5887 and the website to check is yourdebtsettlementattorney.com, yourdebtsettlementattorney.com. And for immigration is attorneyonair.com or pirallilaw.com. Let me take another caller. This is Shah Pirali. You are live on air.
Hi, is this regarding the visa or what type of program is this?
I'm sorry? I didn't
get it. Okay, I have a question regarding the I'm a green card holder and I want to apply green card for my in-laws and parents. So what's the procedure for that?
You are a green card holder?
Yeah, I'm a green card holder. So
okay,
can I apply for the...
No, you cannot. You cannot.
Okay.
Until you become a citizen, you cannot apply for your... You can apply for your spouse and your children that are not married, but you cannot apply for your mother or father. You have to wait to become a citizen. As for your in-laws, you're not able to apply at all. Your wife can apply when she becomes citizen also. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Good luck to you. Let me take another caller. This is Shapra. You're 11 here.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how much time I have, Franco, and but I wanted to discuss a little bit about the other issues of debt settlement. We are getting a lot of people who are basically kind of suffering, or they lost their job and they owe money on their credit cards or some kind of loan, second mortgage, or even on cases where they have issues with their debts, like they owe on a line of credit. And they cannot afford to pay. The business went down. They lost their job. They have some sickness. They have some family issues. Please give us a call. We might be able to get you out of those debts. And the number to call is 510-742-5887. The website is yourdebtsettlementattorney.com. yourdebtsettlementattorney.com. For immigration, we have two departments, by the way. Immigration is attorneyonair.com, attorneyonair.com, and number again, 510-742-5887. I think I have one more caller, Franco. This is Shah Pereira. You're live in here.
Hi, Shah. This is Prasad.
Hi, Prasad. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
My company has been acquired by another company. And what we got now is like this will be operating at a standalone until 2017 December. But if I have to file my green card, do I have to file with the current employer or the new one who acquired the company?
Well, I will not know until I know exactly what are the agreements between the two companies. If, like I said, if it is a successor in interest, if it is a full successor in interest, then the present company can file the green card and it will be automatically transferred to the second company. But if not, then you have to wait until the other company complete the transaction, then they file for you. So it's very hard to answer unless we know the inside of the company. So you need to ask the lawyers of the company, will it be a successor in interest? Then if it is a full successor in interest, then you don't have a problem. You can file with the same company and transfer it to the other company when the merger happens. But if it is not a successor in interest, it's very different from a full successor in interest. I mean, like basically they're breaking the company and taking part, then you have to file with the other company. Okay?
But my H1 has been approved for 3 years with the current company. So will that have any impact with this merge?
Yeah, it will. Same rule. So if it is a merger, a full acquisition, that means you don't have to do anything on the H1B. Otherwise, you will have to transfer the H-1B to the other company. That's why it's very hard to answer this question unless we know what's inside of the merger agreement or the buyout. So it's you need to talk to the company lawyer and find out exactly what they're planning to do and what they're doing. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Good luck. But if it is not a full successor in interest, that means they're not merging everything in one. And they're not acquiring the whole thing as one whole, then you might have to do H-1B transfer and file the green card with the other company. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, let me take one last caller. This is Shah Pereira. You're live in here.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Sheshank. I would like to know one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
go ahead,
I would like to know one question regarding my visa.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, actually, I'm having my current employer and I'm moving to my new employer. I transferred my visa, but there was some amount due from my current employer. So, in case if my current employer is also going to run the payroll till the amount gets cleared, so I would be having two payrolls for the same duration with the both employers. So, would it lead to any problem for my immigration further?
No. No, because the H-1B is still there and they are issuing payroll. Issuing payroll, if they don't have any payroll, then you have a problem. But having two, no, it's not a problem because both H-1B will be valid, kind of. So you don't have any problem, usually. Okay?
That means, like, both the employers can run the payroll for the same duration, right?
Yeah. Running payroll is one thing. It's about paying you. But there's no problem usually. As long as the previous employer has the H-1B and you have a new H-1B, then it's fine. But no, it's not a problem. Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, good luck to you. So, ladies and gentlemen, we had a lot of very, very interesting questions today, very much outside the normal scope, including successor in interest, mergers, acquisitions. These are big, big words, but in immigration too, it's really very tricky. They need to assess this clearly because one mistake, you might fall out of status on H-1B and even not be able to benefit from your I-140. So be very careful, and many companies don't, their lawyers don't understand the implication. They just look at the transactional part, but you need to make sure that it is done properly. And if you need help, give us a call, 510-742-5887. And before Amit move on, I have few announcements that I have to do. For one, fees for immigration is increasing as from December 23, so make sure that you check on that. And also, the U.S. Embassy and Consulate in India are increasing appointments time until December, so if you need to go for stamping, it's a good timing. And also, for those who have a DUI, make sure you talk to a lawyer before you leave the country because it's becoming a big headache. And also, for those students of Hagwon University, since they are terminating the service as from January 11, 2017, they're giving an opportunity for the students to transfer to another school. Make sure you do the transfer. There are many other announcements I couldn't do, but of course we have issues so many things happening on the immigration front because of the elections. So be careful there too. Let's hope things get better for us before, but it will get worse before it gets better. So let's pray for that. And happy Diwali to all the listeners. I wish you all the best. And we'll be back on Thursday again from 10 to 11. And anything I'm telling you today is for educational purposes only. You should not act or refrain to act solely on the information provided. You should contact an attorney if you have any question. I think Amit is there. Amit, are you there?
Hey, Sai, yes, I'm here. How are you?
Okay, so how are you? I'm doing well. I'm doing well. So happy Diwali, and I think you have 8 minutes to go. Thank you, Franco. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back on next Thursday from 10 to 11, and Amit will continue. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Sai. Yes, and Satsrikala, and namaste to all the listeners. Yes, we'd like to wish you guys a very happy Diwali from my side as well to all the listeners, and hope you guys have a great time with your family and friends, and be safe and enjoy. The weather is getting a little bit colder and colder now. So, you know, health is first, take care of the health and family and, you know, and enjoyment as well. So hope you guys have a great Diwali, and wanted to just wish you guys in advance as well. And yes, I'm here to give you details on the real estate and let you know what's happening in the market right now. As we do also come every Monday, so you can listen to our half-hour show from 12:30 p.m. to 1 p.m. on Apna Aashiyana. And we definitely discuss about the rates and real estate and everything and let you know what's happening. So that way, you know, you can give us a call, and if you have any questions, then we can definitely help you out. Number to contact me is 510-299-9361, and my website is gambhiramit.com. And as you all know that, you know, we do specialize with everything that has to do with the real estate. If you are planning to buy, sell, invest, you know, you want to upgrade, you want to downsize, whatever you want to do in the real estate, we can definitely help you out. And plus, in our office, we also do the, you know, property management, and we also do the loans as well. So we actually have everything in our in-house that we can help you out. And plus, in our office, we also help people repair their credits too. We analyze it, and we do. We're not a credit fixing company, but we know what the lenders are looking for. So if you want to actually, you know, work on that with us, we can definitely help you out and guide you through so that way your credit score can get, can you know, get better, and then you can get closer to owning a home that you're looking for. So again, the number to contact me is 510-299-9361. My website is gambhiramit.com. So, you know, the recap right now is that, you know, market is still pretty strong. It's holding strong even in this, you know, time of the year right now. The main reason for that is interest rates are pretty good. And a lot of people actually are taking advantage of that. You know, they're refinancing it right now, taking cash out, or, you know, HELOC and all that stuff. So if you are actually on the same boat, you do want to actually, you know, explore the opportunity of investment. I would say this is the perfect opportunity to go for the investment at this point,
because we are doing a lot of 1031 exchange, the property JDSC transaction. Yeah, we are doing a lot of transactions on 1031 exchange right now. You know, we just did at least about three already. Last month, it's in the 1031 exchange transaction. We have three more actually we're working on right now to help our clients out to save money on the taxes. Because, you know, 1031 exchange, you know, program, profit rental property, tax, you can definitely JDB property, like kind of property on this, you know, 1031 say through, you can buy it, and then you don't have to pay any taxes to the IRS on the profit that you earn on the rental property. So you can definitely do that, and, you know, the better option is, you know, you can explore different options on the investment side. You know, let's see, you want to buy apartment complex, you want to buy duplex, triplex, you have to on a cap rate, you have investment of the property. If you want to get at least 5%, 6% cap rate, which is a positive cash flow, that would make sense right now, because obviously JD Bay Area, the market has already reached at the level where you are evening out right now on some of the rental properties that you own right now, even in Hayward. You know, so if you look at it, Hayward is actually, you know, is the best area to invest. But still, you know, if you have condos, townhouses, they have reached to the level in which, you know, you are evening out on your positive cash flows. You know, you're not getting anything extra money in your hand. So there are actually, I mean, different counties, again, in which we have discussed about them in the past, that, you know, you can definitely explore. And the good thing is, we actually manage properties all over the Bay Area and outer counties as well, which is Sacramento County, Walnut Creek. Any area that you want us to manage it, we can definitely manage it for you, which will make sense for you to, you know, explore more options, get a better investment and, you know, credibility for the long term for your money that you're investing on that one. So those are the type of things that we do to make sure we understand and we analyze your portfolio, and then see how we can, you know, I mean, manage your transaction, and then find you the right kind of property that you can, you know, hold on to for another 5 to 10 years, and that can generate you good positive cash flow for future as well. Jagar to see also the, you know, I mean, situation that we tell you that, you know, your property is not giving you enough, you can contact us. We can, you know, definitely help you out, and you know, we don't charge too much money to sell the property either. You know, we only charging, you know, 1% on the listing side. If you want to save money from the market, we can definitely help you out. And, you know, I mean, we do all the, I mean, everything that you want us to do, which is open houses, broker tours, and we will get you the best buyer that is possible for your listing based on the price that you want on the house for the current condition. So, I mean, if you want to, you know, consult with that, with me about that and see, you know, you are thinking about doing that, contact me. And then we can, you know, analyze all the numbers first and see, you know, where you are at and how you want to approach that and how, I mean, when you want to do it and when is the right time, you know, even if you have renters in that property, like I said, we can, you know, help you out in that situation too as well. So for that, you can definitely contact me. My number is 510-299-9361. And we, I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, any counties that you want, we can definitely help you out. We do go all the way to Sacramento, Fresno, and, you know, UC Merced, all that area that you want to, I mean, explore, Napa, you know, Cache Creek, and all those stuff. I mean, wherever you want to go, we can definitely help you out on that one. The number again is 510-299-9361, and my website is GambhirAmit.com. I have a couple of listings available that I want to discuss with you. We do have a single-family house available in Union City, which is a double-story. And it's a big house, 7-bedroom, 3-bath. You know, it has bedrooms downstairs, and it's 1997 built. It is opposite 84 Freeway and 92 Freeway. And, you know, if you are looking for something like that, give me a call. I can definitely see if we can qualify you, and we can definitely help you out in that house. Then we have some other listings available in Hercules, Union City, Hayward. If you are interested in buying, give us a call, and I can help you out. On the other hand, I got a vertical problem here as well, you know, vertical. Credit card, the debt, whatever, again, you want to solve that. You want to go second loan, I did a problem in the pay still right now. If you have a hardship, or they want to see contact us with the Shaprali, the team, they definitely help you out in that. And, you know, they will settle it up for you with the bank to make sure that you don't have to pay too much money from your pocket. So let's say I got to go debt, I got on $30,000. They can try to, I mean, you know, reduce it to $3,000, and you can you know, walk away with $27,000 that you don't have to pay to any of your debtors on that one. So for that, you can contact them. Number is 510-742-5887. And mail get a number, 510-299-9361. So that's all I have for you guys. You know, anything for the real estate, give us a call. Like I said, we do everything in our in-house. And we'll definitely, analyze your situation and try to provide you with the best idea possible on that to make it happen for you. And for anything, if you have a hardship, you want to keep your property, and or you have any debts that you want to clear up, or that shop analogy team idea, or another number, 510-742-587. And have a great Diwali. Enjoy with your family. And if you guys want to go to Mika Singh concert, he's coming on November 6th. You can contact me for that, and we can definitely, you know, help you out on that one. So have a great day. We'll be back on Monday next week from 12:30 to 1 p.m. Great. Thank you.